Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Welcome to the show. And with that, we now go all sports until 10:30 tonight. How about that? That's what we're going to do from now until 10:30 p.m. We are all sports. We will have sports on a Sunday morning for an hour. Then we are going to take you to Cleveland, where it is wet and soggy, and the Browns are not very good, and the Chiefs are, and it's still going to be a great football game because it's a good old-fashioned cold December day in Cleveland, and they will be going at it today, the Browns and the Chiefs. The Chiefs are only 4.5-point favorites in that game because every game they play is like a 4-3 or 2-point game, and you know the same thing is going to happen today. Maybe we'll do some NFL picks, Drew, right before we get to pregame at 11 o'clock, okay? We got a great show ahead of then. Bernie Miklas, Chris May, Doug Armstrong in the next 53 minutes. So we have a very short show here, but it is packed with stuff. And we have a triple header for you on KMOX today. We have three games for you. We will go all sports today. We have, as I mentioned, the Chiefs and the Browns. Then we're going to go to Bloomington Normal. It is Illinois State and St. Louis University playing basketball today, and that will be a hotly contested game between a rising team in the Missouri Valley Conference and a riser in the Atlantic 10 Conference. I think SLU is going to be very tough to deal with in the A-10, and they are going to be growing each and every day with this 6-7-man rotation that Josh Schertz is going to employ, and that's it. He won't go more than 7, maybe 8. But certainly in those conference games, 8 would be the max. He likes to go 7. He rides his 5 starters. He'll bring 2 off the bench. And with Larry Hughes the second leaving the program, that is going to increase the minutes for Max Bakar, I do believe. We will see Kobe Johnson today. He'll be available, it does appear. And Kellen Thames, hopefully his cramping issues behind him, is a big player here. And, of course, Amari McCautry. So all of that is happening. And we're going to talk to Chris May about him and them at 10:30 today. We'll cap the day with another NFL game. It's the Packers at the Seahawks. Bernie Miklas is set to join us in just a little bit here at 10:15. I know he's a happy man because Navy beat Army in that fabulous game yesterday. Great matchup. Turned out to be a lopsided game. And we'll also talk to him about the Cardinals, the latest on the Arenado rumors that have picked up. Where is he going to go? What could the Cardinals get in exchange? What's the baseball market look like? That and much more with Bernie Miklas. And we'll wrap this 1 hour with Doug Armstrong at 10:45. The Blues lost last night 2-1 in overtime to the Stars. They don't gain a point if it wasn't for the terrific play by Jordan Binnington. Binnington was phenomenal. He had 35 saves yesterday, and the Blues picked up a point because he made save after save after save late in that game. They also landed Cam Fowler, the defenseman from the Anaheim Ducks, and Army will be with us at 10:45 live on KMOX to talk about how that trade went down. Very quickly, he ended up playing for the Blues last night. He looked good. He's a workhorse defenseman that they needed, especially since they don't know what Nick Leddy's status is. For that matter, David has a question on YouTube. You want to pop that up for our YouTube listeners? Drew, if you get an opportunity, he asked, I guess I missed it, what's with Larry Hughes Jr.? Larry Hughes II left the program. We'll hear from Chris May at the bottom of the hour about that. This news came out last week. It's something that you kind of saw coming. If you're around the program a lot, he wasn't getting a lot of minutes. I think that while he's a good player and a very good shooter, not the type of player I don't think that fits Josh Schertz's system. Schertz wants you to be a dynamic defensive player, ball handler, attacker, and when things aren't going well for you offensively, he certainly wants you to pick up your game defensively, and for whatever reason, it just didn't work out for Larry here. His great history, his dad, of course, is a famous Billiken, so you know it's a famous name that unfortunately isn't going to be part of the program anymore, but it does pick up the news for Amari McCautry, is that he is able to play more, and certainly has an even more important role. McCautry can play all five positions, but he's really naturally a point guard. The way that he moves, passes, and can steal in the backcourt, really nice player. So I think he's a better fit for Schertz's system than Hughes is. But we'll talk about that a little bit more as the show goes. And for college basketball, in all the time that I've been covering sports in St. Louis, one of my favorite venues to attend was Assembly Hall, now State Farm Center in Champaign, Illinois. I love going to games there. I actually debated driving up there for this one yesterday because I just love being in great college basketball atmospheres. And it was that yesterday. Number one Tennessee visited Illinois yesterday, lost the game, did Illinois 66-64 on a last second layup by Jordan Ganey. I will say it again, this should not diminish what Illinois is trying to accomplish. They are a team that is going to be able to go toe-to-toe with just about anybody. They've got some really nice talent on that team. Brad Underwood's team will play relentlessly, and they gave up a layup in the last second, and that was it, a buzzer-beating layup for Tennessee. They win it 66-64 after Illinois had tied the game. They go down, and Ganey gets the winner. But for Illinois fans, I think some big things are coming for you, including a week from today. At Enterprise Center, it'll be Mizzou and Illinois in the Bragging Rights game. There's your chance to smack Missouri right back and try to get your fans juiced. That place is going to be wild because Mizzou thinks it's got a team, and they're not wrong. If Missouri wins, as they should, against Jackson State, they'll be 10-1 going into that game. Illinois, with the loss to Tennessee, is going to try to bounce back. That is going to be a fantastic basketball game on Sunday at noon between Mizzou and Illinois, 1 week from today. A lot happening around college football. We mentioned Army-Navy. Travis Hunter wins the Heisman Trophy, as well he should. Phenomenal two-way player, best player in college football. He beats out Ashton Gentry, who I know was terrific at running back for Boise State, but Hunter was mind-blowing what he's able to do on both sides of the ball. That's the way it used to be, Drew. That's the way how they used to play back then. They had to. They played on both sides. The Iron Men of football no longer is the case, unless your name is Travis Hunter, maybe a couple other guys here and there. But what a great year for Travis. Let's get to it. Let's take a break and get to Bernie Miklas. He joins us next. You're listening to Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX. We are back on the show. Tom Ackerman with you, 10:18. Man, this show's flying already. We're off the air at 11, Drew. We got to hustle. It's Bernie Miklas. Now we can kick back and talk some sports with Bernie. I didn't want to waste too much time, but we're already at 10:18. Bernie, what's going on?
Well, I'll slow you down some more, or I'll speed up the clock some more. I'll get you closer to 11. How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing great, man. I know you're happy, and so am I. Navy beating Army. Let me tell you just a quick story. So I grew up, my dad and I were friends with Jack Lingle, the one-time athletic director at the University of Missouri. Then he became the AD at the Naval Academy. And through that friendship, I went and visited. And I actually was very serious about going into the Naval Academy. I visited. I went to Annapolis. I saw where everybody stays. I saw all the plebes, you know, and what they do. And after that time, I really enjoyed a poster of the Naval Academy up on my wall. And as it turned out, my heart was into this. I wanted to be a sportscaster. I wanted to be in this business. And I decided to go to Indiana University and become a sportscaster. But I always wondered what it would have been like to be there. So when I went to a couple of Army-Navy games and went to a game at the Naval Academy when I saw them play Yale one year, I was just blown away. And I always, always feel that way and think about those times when the Army-Navy game pops up.
Well, I appreciate that about you. You know, and I have Annapolis roots. I didn't technically grow up in Annapolis, but I grew out just outside of Annapolis. I was friends with a lot of Academy kids, you know, the children of admirals or Naval Academy, Naval Academy administration. I'm sorry. And also grew up, one of my best friends was someone who played lacrosse for Navy. He was their starting goaltender. And we went to high school. In fact, we shared the same birthday. And oddly enough, got married on the same day. And my dear friend was a tremendous fighter pilot and lost his life in the preparations for the first Gulf War. So Navy is very, very special to me because I think sometimes, Tom, people may be a little confused. Like, why is he such a Navy fan? And if they haven't heard the story. Also, the first sporting event I ever went to, and I was very, very young, but I do remember looking at the field and being in awe. I can't lie and say I remember the game. But the first sporting event I went to was a Navy game in Annapolis in which Roger Staubach was the quarterback for Navy. It was the year that he won the Heisman Trophy. I mean, can you imagine that? So anyway, place is very dear to me. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I mean, I was going to say there's no guessing then why you're such a football fan. It was instilled in you before you even realized what was going on. That's incredible.
And I Navy was incredible yesterday, and I don't know whether Army was kind of had a letdown after winning the American Conference Championship. They just beat up on Tulane. I think some Army fans are saying that, but with all due respect to them, and I have immense respect for Army, I don't buy that because no matter what happens during the regular season or the bowl game coming after it, the most important game, and it's not even close on each team's schedule, is the Army-Navy game. And yesterday, 31-13, and Blake Horvath, the Navy quarterback, unbelievable. He rushed for 204 yards. He passed for two touchdowns. He ran for two touchdowns. And he totally outplayed Army's quarterback, who's, you know, very heralded, in fact, finished sixth in the Heisman voting this year.
And I have to say, it is the greatest rivalry in sports, and not only in college football, but in sports. I know that Ohio State Michigan gets the title, but I appreciate what CBS tries to do. There's nothing that can replicate being there. And having seen it, it is absolutely mind-blowing. It is amazing to feel the energy inside the stadium wherever it is played, and I've had a chance to see it in Philly and in New York. But CBS does a great job kind of putting it out how important that game is to everyone.
Absolutely, and I'm glad you brought that up because I always, frankly, I'll admit it, I always get really ticked off when I see these pieces go online. Well, here are the greatest rivalries in college sports. And it's all the things that you would expect to see on there. You mentioned one of them, Ohio State, Michigan, North Carolina, Duke. We could go on and on. But so many of those pieces leave out Army, Navy. And I just, to me, it's incomprehensible. This was the 125th game between the two teams. It started in the 1800s. And I was looking for a count, and I couldn't find a firm count. But the number of lives that have been lost defending the country coming from through all these years, decades, Army football players and Navy football players, it's enough to inspire you about the greatness of this country and what those two academies, including football players, are willing to sacrifice. And the other thing, it's also heartbreaking because, for example, one of the Navy teams after 9/11, and we went into Iraq, and then it led to Afghanistan and all that. There were three players on the game played right after 9/11, Navy game. There were later three Navy football players killed in the line of duty in the aftermath of 9/11. And so I got to read some clown. See, I'm going to get nasty here. I got to read some clown talking about what a great rivalry UCLA and USC is. And the other thing, these Army and Navy players, after they're done and after they battle their hearts out on the field, many, many, many times they become brothers in arms on the battlefield. They stand shoulder to shoulder. There's not a rivalry better than this.
No.
It's absolutely preposterous to say that there is.
There's a line in that open that they play, the intro, where it says, "Everyone playing is willing to die for everyone watching." That is a
precisely thing. That sums it up. Yep. I appreciate that you get it very much. I'm not surprised because that's the kind of man you are, but I really appreciate that you get it.
You're the man. Well, listen, it's not quite like sharing beers, you know, with your Cards and Cubs buddies in Wrigleyville, but that is fun and that is a great rivalry. But I'm not sure. It'll be interesting to see how Cardinals fans take the Cubs this year, because they're going to be good. They went out and got Kyle Tucker. The Cubs made a big, big move this offseason. Your thoughts on it?
Well, Kyle Tucker, you know, will be in right field. Suzuki will become the DH. They're ready to turn center fielder Pete Crow Armstrong. They're ready to turn center field over to the very young, very impressive prospect Pete Crow Armstrong. And you have Ian Happ in left. It's a risky deal because Tucker can be a free agent after the 2025 season. But the thing about it is the Cubs have all the money you could want to absolutely get him to agree to a new contract. And if they're willing to pay what it's going to cost, then he could be a fixture in right field for the Cubs for a long time. We'll just have to wait and see on that one. But the Cubs, you know, they're going to trade Cody Bellinger. And the interesting thing about that, maybe to the Yankees, is what they get in return. But the Cubs do have holes on their roster, right? You still wonder, well, who's going to close games? And wait a minute, are you kidding me? Javier Assad's going to be the fifth starter? Is the rotation that thin? That type of thing. But they still have more top 100 prospects in the organization, even after trading the kid that went to Houston in the trade, who was I forget his name, but was the 14th overall pick, or maybe even less than that. He was their first round pick in the 2024 draft. Even after trading him, they still have a load of premium prospects. So what should rattle Cardinals fans isn't the fact that they just Tucker, because holes remain, but they have the goods, they have the prospects, they have the supply to go out and basically make any trade they want to make, because they have the prospect depth to do it. So we'll see how it all ends up for them. But, you know, obviously it signals to me and everyone, I think, the Cubs aren't really in it in 2025. They're not going to fool around. No more 83-win seasons. They're going to go for it in 25.
And this is another good point that you make, because it relates to the Cardinals. When the Cardinals say they are going to restore their franchise, they're going to reset, they're going to concentrate on player development, they're not just doing that to be better fundamentally, which they will be, to create pathways for young players, which they will, but Bernie, they create currency. So they have more that they can trade, that they can move when they need it. They will have a much richer farm system as a result.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And that's where the Cardinals need to go, and that's where they're trying to go. And I think with Heim Bloom and Rob Serfolio, they'll get there. And that's a build-to-wit thing anyway, very much so. And, you know, you look at the Milwaukee trade, for example, and, you know, frankly, I think some Cardinals fans are having a hard time understanding that trade as it relates to, say, Ryan Helsley. If, in fact, the Cardinals would trade Ryan Helsley, would they get? I've heard from a lot of Cardinals fans this weekend. They're saying, well, wait a minute. I know you're in favor of trading him, but if that's all Milwaukee could get for Devin Williams, their closer, and he and Helsley are equals, let's say, well, then I wouldn't trade him. Well, here's the deal. Number one, I want to clear something up. I wouldn't trade Helsley either if the offers are not good enough. But the other thing is, you got to understand Milwaukee's trying to win the division in 2025, and they have a weak rotation. It's vulnerable because no one knows how Brandon Woodruff will be when he gets back. Like, is he going to be able to pitch after that shoulder surgery? They were nervous about their rotation. They had no chance to keep Devin Williams beyond the season. But if you're trying to win in 2025 and you have Trevor Megill already lined up to be your closer, and he was fantastic in that role last year when Williams was hurt, it makes perfect sense to trade Devin Williams, 1 year of him, to get Nestor Cortes, who can be a free agent after next season. But again, it's all about 25. The Cardinals situation is entirely different than the Brewers situation going into 2025. So what I'm saying is what the Brewers got for Devin Williams is completely irrelevant to what the Cardinals would want to get for Ryan Helsley. One has nothing to do with the other.
What about Nolan Arenado? As we saw the report yesterday from The Athletic, that they are in some serious discussions reportedly with the Astros for Arenado. How far do you take that?
Well, first of all, let me say this, and I think we all would agree on this. Arenado doesn't have Houston on his list of teams to he'd accept the trade to. However, I can't believe that he would stick to that. If in fact he wants to win, Houston has won the division 8 years in a row. They still have a load of talent. I know that, you know, Bregman's going to be leaving, and there's been some other things, but they still have Altuve, Yordan Alvarez. They still have Yainer Diaz, their catcher, Jeremy Pena, Chaz McCormick. They have all kinds of pitching. They still have Josh Hader. And that division stinks. That division's worse than the NL Central. So Houston is set up to still continue to win and to still own the National American League West. So why wouldn't Arenado want to go there? The other reason for that is that, Tom, we all know Arenado can still hit for average. He still plays really good defense. The only thing that's been lacking is his power has been in decline. Arenado is a pull hitter. He loves to pull fly balls. Are you kidding me? The Crawford boxes?
Oh, man.
The Crawford boxes are 315 feet from home plate. Can you imagine if he can get the ball in the air enough, how many home runs he'll hit in that place? And that would give him great peace of mind just to see all those baseballs going into the Crawford boxes. So why wouldn't he want to go there? And Houston's a great sports town. You know, it's not like someone's trying to send him to, you know, some obscure place. I mean, Houston's for real when it comes to the Astros and the commitment to winning.
There's no question. He would be yanking pitches into those seats all day long. And for that matter, just go ahead and get Paul Goldschmidt, and then they can both just just break my heart and just crush. Following last year and the year before being down. Bernie, we appreciate this very much. It's always great to talk to you. Let me drop two things on our listeners. One, you are a must follow on YouTube at The Bernie Show. That is a subscribe that needs to happen today. And while you're there, make sure you link up with KMOX Sports, because the Gas House Gang has been a lot of fun to do for all of us.
And we'll be back doing that tomorrow, the whole gang, at noon, and it's a live stream, and it's available on all the different media platforms or podcast platforms, which we're now on all of the podcast platforms with the Gas House Gang, so you can listen to it, the audio version, at your convenience. And we do this 5 days a week. Monday's the only day we're all four of us together. The rest of the week, it's two of the members of the KMOX sports team, which I'm, of course, proud to be a part of. So yeah, it'll be good. And by the way, since you plugged my YouTube video, let me just throw this in real quick. As soon as I hang up, I'm going to do a video about the Arenado situation as it pertains to the Houston Astros. And I'm going to answer some questions like, well, why would Houston want Arenado instead of offering more to Bregman? I'll answer that, for example, and some other things.
Perfect. Go see him as soon as he posts that video. Bernie, thanks so much.
Tom, love you, man. Thank you.
Love you, buddy. Bernie Miklas with us, sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. Chris May, the athletic director at SLU, is next.
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
This Billiken Report is sponsored by Royal Banks of Missouri, and we say hello to the athletic director at SLU, Chris May. Chris, how are you?
Doing great this morning. How are you doing, Tom?
Doing great. Got to see you Friday at the 123 Club Christmas party. That was great. And I'll see you tomorrow at the Jack Buck Awards at the MAC. It is banquet season as we celebrate St. Louis and St. Louis University. You know, you really take a step back. It's been a good year for you.
Oh, it's been a fantastic year. As we spoke on Friday, from all the success we had last spring with the WNIT championship, baseball team winning another championship, and soccer teams playing well this fall and a lot of excitement around the basketball teams. Yeah, it's been great, but we've got a lot of basketball to play yet this year. So we're excited about today. Both teams have big games. I just got the report. The men are just walking off the court in Bloomington Normal, and Rebecca's had a great prep going into this afternoon as well for, with the women. So it's a big day in Billiken basketball today.
Women play at 2 o'clock today against Ohio at Chaffetz Arena. Always a great ticket to get down there. You'll really enjoy yourself. And then a big game on KMOX today. It's a big game. 3:45 pregame, 4 o'clock tip against Illinois State. I think it'll be a great contest. I saw Illinois State about a week or so ago. They had an overtime buzzer-beating loss at Belmont. They hit 18 threes in that game, Chris. That's pretty good. Slew can play, though, Josh, as we know.
Josh, you know, we talked about they shoot the three really, really well, and we've spent a lot of time how we're going to defend them, but we're just starting to get a little healthy. That's what I'm really encouraged by. You know, Robbie's almost 100%, and when Robbie Avila is 100%, he is a special player, and so I'm excited to see him getting more and more close to 100%. You've got Swope, who's playing well. Gibson, you know, I think I don't think we probably celebrated as much as we should have, but when you see what Gibson's accomplishments have been, it's pretty special, and he's ready to go today. Kellen Thames is going to play, and he's ready, so it should be a really, really great ball game this afternoon.
Yeah, Gibson could hit that 2,000 point mark today,
and he could.
You know, he really could. And boy, I'll tell you, I really like when Josh Schertz gets his rotation going, and I saw it at Indiana State, and so did you. He'll play 5, 6, 7 players, and that's pretty much it. He may throw in an eighth. But right now, you just mentioned that trio, along with Kalu Anya and Kellen Thames, if he can get those cramping issues behind him. The right. Fabulous Amari McCautry. I think he is Josh's type of player. And, of course, we may get a peek at Kobe Johnson and Max Bakar and some others. Got to get A.J. Casey healthy. But I really like McCautry so much so that I understand kind of where you are with Larry Hughes. And with the announcement that Larry left the program, we all know what a great kid he is and what a big name that is. But sometimes minutes are minutes, Chris, and it just happens.
Well, it does, and we wish Larry nothing but the best. That is one great young man. And so we are big, big fans of Larry Hughes's, and wish him nothing but the best as he finds a better fit for him. But he, what a wonderful young man, and he's going to do well. But you know, to your point, there's only 200 minutes in a game, and it becomes difficult. And I will tell you, I'm also very excited. You mentioned him. Kobe Johnson's healthy finally, and he's ready to go today too. And there's a young man that started in big, big games in the Big 12. He is not flustered. And so between he and you called it, you know, the kid from Milwaukee is a special freshman. He is a special freshman that's going through the freshman grind, but boy, his upside is incredible. And as Max Bakar, Max is starting to show minutes. And so we've got to defend better, as everybody knows, but the process of the timing of the offense is starting to come. And as we become more and more healthier, when you become healthier, you get more confident. When you become more confident, shots go in. And so I'm really excited to see what we see this afternoon with the Billikens.
What's the buzz about the A-10 at large? I saw that Dayton won another big game. I mean, Dayton's going to be tough again. And, of course, we all know about VCU, Rhode Island. Your man Archie Miller's off to a nice start there. I mean, and I know there are others, too, that are going to make some noise, including SLU. It looks like a pretty tough conference.
Well, the numbers are starting to really show that the A-10 is poised to have a great year. You mentioned Dayton. Dayton had a big win over Marquette last night. VCU on a neutral site game beat a strong Colorado State team. The team that nobody's talking about is St. Bonaventure. They're in Chaffetz Arena on January 8th, and Mark Schmidt has his team playing unbelievably well right now. And so let alone Loyola. Loyola's played great. They get San Francisco on a neutral site game today. But we believe that the A-10's poised to have three, four bids in the NCAA tournament this year. And we're preparing to get ready for that first A-10 game on December 31st and the first home game January 3rd on national television against St. Joe's. So we've got to be clicking on all cylinders by the time the A-10, but today's a big, big step for us. But the A-10 is poised to have a big, big season.
Billikens are going to be in New York New Year's Eve when they drop the ball at Times Square, playing Fordham that afternoon at 1 o'clock. And yeah, you got another big road game at Grand Canyon, so a lot coming.
No question, but we got to get this one today. Then we put Winthrop at home on Wednesday. We got a doubleheader. We got women and men both playing on Wednesday. We welcome all Billiken fans to come out and see both teams on Wednesday. And then the women play Saturday, and the men are at Grand Canyon. And Grand Canyon's got a really nice team. They've got potentially a lottery pick on that team that we play Sunday afternoon out in Phoenix.
Come see us on Wednesday at Chaffetz Arena. We'll all be there. Rammer, Earl, me, Troy, the whole crew. Ready to go for both games. We're actually going to do both games on TV, women followed by the men. And, of course, KMOX will have the men's game on Wednesday and the game today. It's SLU at Illinois State for a 4 o'clock tip. Chris May, always a pleasure. Thank you very much for the time.
Hey, Tom, we appreciate it, and we'll see you at Chaffetz Arena soon.
Absolutely. It's Chris May, the athletic director at St. Louis University. They've got really some special things going on with NIL right now. You can go to BillikenVictoryFund.com, BillikenVictoryFund.com to check that out. My man Troy Robertson runs that collective. We'll take a quick break. Doug Armstrong, the GM of the Blues, is next.
Billikens win! Billikens win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
10:48, we're joined by Blues General Manager, President of Hockey Operations, Doug Armstrong, back on the show. Good morning, Doug. How are you?
I'm good. How are you this morning?
Doing great. You picked up a point last night, 2-1 loss to Dallas. I'm not sure you get that point without Jordan Binnington. He was phenomenal, as he has been for most of this season. Really, really special there late to get that thing to OT.
Yeah, he certainly stole us a point yesterday. I didn't think thought probably the last maybe the first 10 minutes and the last 10 minutes were the best part of our game, but there was a long time in between there where we just relied on him way too much, and we got to thank him for getting us a point, and hopefully we can turn into 3 today with a victory against the Rangers.
You will be taking on the Rangers at Enterprise Center, a 5 o'clock faceoff, and a fun Sunday crowd will be filing in. We're starting to get that holiday crowd, which ramps up the building even more. Jim Montgomery's team taking that loss in OT yesterday, but gaining Cam Fowler. You were able to go to Anaheim and get a defenseman that, how long have you had your eye on him, and how long did you know that he was willing to get going here and wanted to go somewhere?
Well, we've obviously competed against the Blues and competed against Cam for a long time. We understand, you know, what he is in the league, narrowing in on 1,000 games here in short order. And so he's an experienced player that is going to help stabilize our group. Obviously, when Letty went out, we've had sort of patching that through for most of the season, and just felt that right now we were taxing a small amount of players way too much, and to bring in an experienced player at a dollar value that we think is certainly suitable for our organization was something that we wanted to do to show support to our group.
What do we know about Nick Letty and the situation that he is going through right now?
Yeah, it's difficult. I know Nick, you know, wants to get on the ice, but it's been something that he takes one step forward and one step back, and it's something that we're trying to get our arms around. But you know, I just didn't feel like we could wait any longer. We're hoping to get him back as quick as possible, but you know, there's no guarantees. So I just felt that there was an opportunity to get a good player at what I thought was a reasonable acquisition cost, and we went ahead.
He is a workhorse, isn't he? Would that be a great way to describe Cam Fowler?
Yeah, he's just a player that can, you know, touch all parts of your team if needed, and just logs lots of minutes against good players. So he's going to help us push the game along. He can play with either Falk or Parenko on any given night. I think that'll be something that that Montgomery and his staff will work through to find out the best synergy he'll have with one of those guys, and we'll get him up and running. And I think Suter's done an unreal job taking those minutes this year, and I think giving him some support with Broberg was really important.
Yeah, no question. You need another skater in there, another defenseman, somebody to eat up some minutes to help Suter out a little bit, and the rest of them. It's a very good point and a move that makes a ton of sense and solves a need for you. Cam Fowler becomes a St. Louis Blues defenseman. And then you also have some up-and-comers who are going to be skating here pretty soon. December 26th, World Junior starts. And Army, we talked about it last week. You have some names that are going to be up in there.
Yeah, they're starting to go to their camps now. And if everything goes well for the St. Louis Blues, we could have upwards of 9 players in that tournament, which if it won't be the most in the NHL, it'll certainly be in the top 2 or 3. That's where we were last year. So I give our amateur scouts a ton of credit. They're doing a good job, and it's always great to see these players from different nations compete against their age bracket from all around the world. And it's a good barometer of where they are, what they need to improve on. And it's always nice, I think, for our fan base to have a reason to get up in the morning and look at the scores or watch the games when they can. And it's an exciting time.
Yeah, we always have him on at KMOX. It's great to have that running hockey going and keep an eye on Dvorsky. I'd like to hear you describe Dvorsky as a player for our audience, for those who haven't been as familiar, who have been following, of course, all of the stories, but haven't been able to lay eyes on him.
Yeah, he's a very smart player. He plays the game, I would say, more with his mind than his feet. His skating is average. It's not elite. But that doesn't affect him. He can play east-west. He buys time and space for himself and his teammates. He's got a very good hockey IQ in the offensive zone, and he's a player that's doing very well for a 19-year-old in the American Hockey League. And again, it's just another year where we can build a foundation for him, but we're excited. He's certainly maintaining his draft status as a top 10 pick without any question, and I think, I don't know a lot of I don't know all the players on his team, but I think he's certainly going to have a massive role on that team. And I think he's only going to miss 3 or 4 American League games, so it's not a lot taking away from that group. But he's a player I'm looking forward to see against that group, and then getting back to the American League and continuing what's been a very, very good and promising rookie season.
Just a tremendous amount. They could have potentially up to 9 prospects, as Doug Armstrong said, in the World Juniors. That gets going in Ottawa. Starting on December 26th, and it goes through January 5th. In the meantime, your team here is going to be playing at a very high level. You have the New York Rangers today at 5 o'clock. And, of course, you look forward to seeing, again, some of these. You talk about younger players seem to catch their stride a little bit. The one that I continue to monitor, and I know you do, is Zach Bolduc. I just seeing the potential of that young man is really something.
Yeah, he has very, we saw it last night, his release is, certainly at the upper end of the NHL already. It gets on his off his stick very quickly. He just has to now understand and find those open holes and round out the rest of his game. He still is a work in progress in the neutral zone and defensively, trying to create plays that might not be there. And that doesn't upset us. It's just learning from those things. The NHL is a league of turnovers, meaning when you turn the puck over against this caliber of players, they counter very quickly. And so what we want him to do is just play the game that's there, take advantage of the situations there, but also understand that at this league, you have to live to fight another day, and putting the pucks in areas where you can't get exposed if it doesn't work out. And he's getting great mentorship from some of our players. And as I said, he's a young player that we're excited about, and he's learning on the job.
It is fun to watch, that's for sure. These players grow into their own. Doug Armstrong, the GM of the Blues, with us on KMOX. Thank you for breaking down the Fowler trade, and good luck tonight against the Rangers at Enterprise. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much, and happy holidays to you and all your listeners.
Yes, sir, and I will see you tomorrow night. Jack Buck Awards, Doug Armstrong is going to be there presenting Ken Hitchcock, receiving a Legends Award at the MAC. The Chiefs and the Browns are next on KMOX.